All right, so, you know, we are all, we're all imagers of God. We're given attributes that are like him. Okay, so, he's given us free will, creativity. We are to be, we're very expressive. The Lord has made us like him to be, to be his representatives here on earth. And as Christians, he's given us, fruits of the Spirit. So I wanted to start off with our first passage here in Galatians 5, 22 through 26. Very familiar passage, I'm sure you all know. Okay. So yes, by the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay. These attributes, they're referred to, of course, as fruit, which is quite appropriate considering that a lot of these attributes take quite a long time to develop, just like fruit. It'd be nice if you could just have it right, it'd be nice if you could have it right away, but, just like fruit, once that seed is planted, needs time to grow and mature. Some more than others. Probably the patience one, I think, is probably the one that most people, their fruit on that one is still not quite ripe. Of course, I don't think that one's ever going to be ripe. It's always like on the verge of ripening, but never quite, but it's never there. Of course. But yeah, on the other hand, though, you can develop the opposite of fruit, or something that stunts or destroys your fruit. Mainly, mostly as weeds, the way things with which I'm surprised how great this message is going to be because of the fact that the way things were going with the worship and the things that have been said, this is just going to fit. I think this is going to fit right in. Let me go over to Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, and start right there. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and true, outright and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So right here we have we're given instructions and a warning about walking in the light and to not take any part in works of darkness. And of course, there are many things that can hurt your fruit, that can just basically bruise or damage it. In some cases, probably just straight up destroy it. But the one that I really want to focus on today is anger. Yes. Considering some of the things that's just been kind of what we've been seeing in our culture here lately and just the mindsets of what we see with people going on, I think this is quite appropriate to just talk about a little bit today. And of course, like I said, many things can damage your, many things can damage your fruit. But especially, I think of all the ones that could probably easily do it, I would have to say this one is probably the one that can easily just kind of really take over. And I would say, if you're really good and angry, I would say even though it's really depending on what you're angry about, it does when you're really angry at something or somebody, it does in a way it feels good when you get really good and angry. I mean, why? Because you're right. You're justified. Because in that moment, you know what is best, and everyone and everything can just back off and shut their mouths. Because when you have that type of anger, it does. It just feels, you just love it. I mean, yes. And we see it all over the place. And I will have to say, before all the recent events that have happened, I would say one great example of some really some really good examples of two people just going at it. When I was at Liberty for my first 2 years of college, if you just put a Calvinist and somebody who's an Armenian together in the same room and just let them talk theology, I would just say grab some popcorn and sit back and watch the show, because there were some really heated discussions that happened right there. Of course, now it's mostly with the mostly just the politics. But like I said, before all that happened, that was good times to watch right there. But unfortunately, that's the thing, though. As Christians, that should be something that we should, you know, really want to try to stay away from. But again, there's always something that will really pokes at you, that's really going to just really get you going. And of course, and we are given warnings about this. I'm going to flip over here to Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 real quick. Let me go back over here. Here we go. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. And of course, with this theme of about putting away anger, Psalms 37:8, Proverbs 22:24. Again, all of these basically share a very common theme that warns about anger, and especially within Proverbs 22, it warns not to even associate people with someone who's really quickly to get into anger. Because the more time you spend with somebody like that, you really begin to learn their ways. I mean, think about someone. And I know I'm guilty of this. When think about some of your friends on Facebook, you know, you both share an agreement, you know, you have agreements with, and then when you come across that person who you don't like, how quickly sometimes you may just want to go ahead and just go at them and just make your comments real fast. And, you know, yeah, maybe you're right, but does it really need to be said? But yeah, so again, who you associate with can, you know, with, especially against somebody who's really anger and bitter, very bitter, it can tend to rub off on you. And unjustified anger is most definitely, when you get down to it, really is a heart issue and a pride issue. Because again, when you feel like you're really right in the moment and you're good and angry, even though you could have a reason, I mean, again, like I said, it does come down to a heart issue. And I do want to tell you a little story about myself here that kind of illustrates this. It was about a couple of years. Okay, so mostly a couple of years back, my father passed away back in September. So I had to take a week off from school. So my brother and I had to be, we were the ones basically kind of in charge of doing all the funeral arrangements and all that stuff. So the following week, come back to school. And of course I had let my principal, I was at two different schools. We'll just call them school A and school B. And I let both principals know, you know, what had happened, let some other people know what had happened. So they know why I wasn't there. Okay. I go to school. Okay. So Monday rolls around. I go to school A. Now, of course, I'm not in the best of moods because of everything that had been going on. But, you know, I walk through the door. Principals ask me, say, like, hey, you doing okay? You doing all right? And then, I had lots of people, lots of the faculty come up to me and just ask me how I was doing. I go to my mailbox in the office, full of sympathy cards, one that was signed by all the faculty. And then the two days I was at that school, you know, just throughout the day, people, you know, just kind of asked me, you know, how I was doing. It was really nice. It was very sweet. Didn't ask for any of that. As far as cards go, I mean, it's a card. It's a nice gesture. But it's a card. But, you know, again, the thought, it was a really sweet thought, and I really appreciated it. Okay. We go to school B. Now, I guess in my mind, I guess I was expecting the same thing to happen, and it didn't. I get there, principal, school B, never said a word to me. I think about all the faculty, maybe about eight people. I think it was like maybe about eight people actually, you know, asked how I was doing. I had like one card in my mailbox from one person, which actually surprised me because I really thought this person did not like me at all. And the fact that she gave me one, it really shocked me. Same thing at school A. I had somebody who I really thought was like, wow, this teacher does not like me at all, actually expressed concern. So I was like, wow, that was really sweet. See, even somebody who you think is really cold-hearted, actually, they do have a heart. There's that. Yeah. There is a little nugget of warmness in there. So just remember that. They may be cold-hearted, but there is that nugget of warmness deep down in there. Okay. And again, I'm there at school for a couple of days. And again, I didn't hear anything else. And I kind of, it did, it rubbed me the wrong way. And I was kind of, I got a little bitter about it, especially the following week after that. I was still kind of, you know, not in a good mood because of what happened, you know, because, you know, my dad had passed away. I'm still just thinking, still thinking on it, kind of just drawing on a little bit. And I'm having to go outside doing morning bus duty and car rider duty. And of course, if you know me, I can't hide how I feel. It's a flaw of mine. I don't have the ability to lie like most people do when they say, oh, how you doing? I'm doing great. Oh, okay, great. No. You say that to me, you'd be like, you're lying, Josh. I'm like, no, I'm not. Yeah, you are. You're lying. Don't have that ability. Okay. Well, this one teacher asked, he saw me. I wasn't in a good mood. He goes, he's like, man, you look like you're mad at the world. What's wrong with you? I really just wanted to turn around. It's like, I don't know, maybe because my father just passed away a week ago and I'm just not in the greatest of moods right now. Like, I really just wanted to snap at him because, again, you know, because I guess my mind is like, again, it's like, you should know why I'm in a bad mood. Why are you even asking me this question? I kind of put it behind. And so after a while, I just kind of just put it, I try not to think about it anymore. I was actually in the process of like just kind of getting over it. It's like, okay, I need to stop being mad about this. Whatever. Well, about a month later, a teacher at school B, his brother had passed away. Okay. Now, here's what happened. His brother passed away. I go into the building. Sitting there where everybody signs in is a card for this teacher for all the faculty to sign. And I remember looking at that, thinking, I never got one of these. Nobody gave me one. So instead of like, you know, maybe going up to that teacher and asking him, he's like, how you doing? It's like, I got mad. Like, I saw the card, pushed the pen to the side. Like, I thought about signing, but I just put it down, pushed the pen to the side, and just walked out of the office very quietly. But I could just feel the expression on my face and just walk quickly to my classroom, close the door, and just stewed until my first class arrived. I mean, I was angry. And I stayed angry about that longer than I should have. Because I just felt like, it's like, wow, this whole school says, oh, we're family, we're all in this together. But yet, I feel like I got pushed aside. It really did. It bothered me so much. And even thinking about it right now, I'm having to tell myself again, you need to, it's like, again, just, it's okay. Just let it go. Every time I think, but yeah, but again, that was not the attitude to have. And again, what happened? I got mad, felt it's like my pride got hurt. It's like, how dare you forget about me? I had a loss in my family and you didn't say anything to me. I didn't get my card. I mean, I don't know how you go up to somebody, hey, do I get a card? I mean, I don't know really how you say it. Do I get a sympathy card? Yeah, that's really no way to confront anybody about that. But at the time, but again, I stayed angry at most of those teachers and the principal for months, actually. Like, I just let every time I walked into that building, like, I would just walk past people in the morning, didn't say hi to them, just ignored them whenever they wanted to have me in the conversation. I'd give them a quick answer and walk away. Like, I was legitimate. But again, I felt like I needed to be angry. It's like, you know what? You obviously picked somebody as this is your favorite teacher. You don't care about. So yes, I need to be angry just because I'm right. How dare you treat me like this? But that was just being, but yeah. Yeah, exactly. You can laugh about it because it was. It was just a very immature, very selfish thing to think. But eventually, I did get over it. Eventually, I do talk to the teachers now. I try to joke around with them whenever I get the chance. So I have finally just kind of forgiven them and just kind of moved on. But it didn't come easy. I can send school B this video. So yeah, y'all might wanna watch this because this is a part. That's the other thing. I never did tell them why I was angry at them. But yeah, but again, in Ephesians 4:26, it tells you that to be angry and do not sin and do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Well, unfortunately, yeah, I did not follow that advice. Not only did I give into anger, but I totally let the sun go down on that anger more than once. And of course, why does the scripture tell you that? Again, it's because if you don't deal with and pull that anger weed out of the ground before it hurts your fruit, it's just going to grow and start to choke it out. It's like a kudzu vine that if you don't deal with it soon enough, it will just completely take over. Yeah, over everything. But like I said, for a while at that school, I was not showing fruit, but mostly weeds and dead branches. That's what I was basically showing most of the time. Anyway. Did they really mean any harm by that? No. I was definitely the only one that got hurt by that. In my festering and my brooding about it, I was the only one that was, again, being affected by the entire thing. Because like I said, they didn't know. Because I never said anything. Because, again, how do you tell somebody, hey, I didn't get a sympathy card. He did. This doesn't really come across. But in Matthew 5:21, I mean, what does Jesus say about anger? If you have heard that it said of those of old, you shall not murder, but whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So, yeah. Brutal. Yeah, it's very brutal. But like I told that story. But how many of you here right now probably still have like some kind of anger against your brother right now that may or may not be justified? We don't need a show of hands. I mean, if I looked out real carefully at your faces, I could probably take a good guess. But going along with Matthew 5, in James 4, there's another passage that basically goes in hand with it. It's in verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, and who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbors? Because I think when you're letting that anger really get to you, of course, it is going to be leading to a lot of hatred and bitterness. You are basically taking God's place as far as like how to judge that person. I mean, as Christians, I mean, are you allowed to judge people in the right context? If there's somebody who is really doing some kind of harm, especially a member of a congregation who's causing like harm to the rest of the congregation, whether through their actions in or out of the church, or something like a sin that needs to be brought up and resolved. We're called to do that. We're supposed to confront them and say, hey, you are doing this. We need to talk about it. This needs to be dealt with. But then, of course, judging in that capacity, that's done out of love. You're not out of, I'm right. How dare you be more right than me? Go away. But again, if anger is so bad, why do we even have this? Why is this even an emotion? Why do we even have it? Well, honestly, it's been given to us because God actually gave it to us, to be a little bit more like him. Because if you read in the passage, go through the Old Testament, how many times did God get angry at his people? But again, did he have reasons to? Oh, yes. Right. He gave his people, saying, here, you're my chosen people, follow me, and you're going to be okay. But they, of course, idol worship, turned away from him. He was patient with them because, again, he's full of patience, love, compassion, slow to anger. But it got to a tipping point. It's like, okay, enough's enough. You need to stop this. I'm angry at you. I do love you, but we got to stop this. So, and again, Mark 3, verses 1 through 6, there's a passage where Jesus, it's with the withered hand, what it says in there. Let me read that real quick. Here we go. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. And he looked around them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Here we have an example again. And of course, we can also talk about, of course, the money changers. Jesus, of course, I'm sure Jesus didn't walk in there whistling zippity-doo-dah when turning over the tables. He was angry at what they were doing. But again, why was he angry? What was provoking it? This was an example where he was justified. And of course, when he got angry, he did something about it. It provoked him to action. Not just any action, it provoked him to a godly action. Okay? Because the Bible doesn't say not to be angry. It says be slow to anger and to not sin. Be slow to it. Because again, there are things that are going to make us angry. I mean, somebody says, does something to you, hurts you either physically or verbally. Yeah, it's going to make you angry. But how you deal with that, that's where the issue comes from. If you deal with it the way God wants you to, pray about it, forgiveness, yes, the anger is motivating you to do what's right, and not for you to fester and to hate, which, of course, what Jesus said, if you hate somebody, you're basically murdering them in your heart. So, again, anger is a very powerful motivator. I mean, think about some examples in the Bible from anger. David killing Goliath. David comes there. Goliath's insulting the tribe of Israel. I'm sure David wasn't going up there to Goliath with a big smile on his face. I'm sure David was not happy what was going on. But again, his anger made a change. He acted on it in the way that God wanted him to. Then we have an example of Nehemiah, where in the book of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah had to address what was going on with the people, where they were being taxed and mortgaged and their stuff because, and they were too poor, and they were poor to buy food. And Nehemiah was angry. Let me find that real quick. Here we go. I'm not going to read the whole part, but yeah. Nehemiah chapter 5. When he heard what was going on about people having to mortgage their fields and their vineyards and the taxes, borrowing money, and they could barely afford food for themselves. He said he was very angry when I heard the outcry of the words, and I took counsel with myself. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 6, he said he took counsel with himself, then brought charges against the nobles and the officials and said to them, you are exacting interest each from his brother, and I held a great assembly against them. So again, took counsel with himself first before he went up to the nobles and the officials. Smart on his part. How many of you have just, somebody really just ticked you off and you decided to, and before you had a chance to just process it first, before you spoke, how many of you just shot it out? did not take counsel with yourself. I think everybody in this room can probably raise their hand. But again, his anger right there again, what did it do? Again, it prompted him to act. And did the problem get fixed? Yes, it did. It did. But again, he took counsel with himself. He was slow to anger himself. And again, something that our culture really needs a lot more of. Be slow to anger instead of just spouting off your opinion and not really analyzing what you're saying. But like I said, anger, great motivator for you to act in a godly way. And again, if you can channel it properly, it can actually, in a way, even though it can damage your fruit, if channeled properly, depending on what it is, depending on the situation, can actually help your fruit. Can actually help you grow more as a Christian. Help you grow more with your fruit. Because if you're slow to anger, if you're being more slow to anger, what is it? Your patience is growing. Your self control is growing. And again, if there's something that's, you know, kind of just ridiculous that really pokes your goat, you know, really goads you. Again, that gives you a chance to examine your heart and say, why does it irritate me so much? So, again, yes, be angry. But yes, everybody, I'm telling you, get angry, but don't sin. Pray to, yes, examine what it is that is. Examine yourself. What really irritates you, and bring it before the Lord. And again, it can. And if it's with past trauma or something like that, you know, then that's something that's going to take, you know, can take a lot of the heal from. Because again, with the kids that I work with, I mean, I've got multiple students who have every right to be angry because of the way their parents have treated them and the situations they have been thrown in against their will. Yeah. So yes, they have, and again, their anger, I would say, yes, it is justified why they're angry. But again, it's going to take, and again, part, and again, that's a trauma. And again, with grieving, anger is part of that healing process because it's something that you have to deal with. But again, how you deal with it, that's what's going to determine, okay, am I sinning against the Lord, or am I doing what he wants? Am I walking in his will to help me through this situation? So allow your branches to be pruned and allow your fruit to grow.
With the arm.